We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We hear God's word of truth. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That verse anticipates a situation that will happen in the lives of believers. The situation involves the unbeliever out there noticing your Christian identity, the fact that you believe the gospel of Christ, and coming with questions for you. What happens when we die? Why are you sure about going to heaven? And other such things they want to know about, and they think you have an answer. Your Savior wants to speak up with an answer, but not any old answer. A defense, he calls it. The right reason for the hope of your salvation in Him. As believers in Christ, we all are to be witnesses of Christ. Witness. In this setting, in this context, that simply means you know the important information of the gospel. You're convinced that it's true, as though you were there, and you're willing to talk about it. We notice the importance of witnesses in other situations. For example, a reporter needs a witness or two to collaborate the accuracy of the news story. The criminal justice system relies on eyewitnesses to establish the facts of the crime and prepare the case for trial. With you and me as witnesses of Christ, however, noticeable differences stand out. No, you are not an eyewitness of Jesus, given the fact that you did not meet him in person or see him risen from the grave, although you do have the Bible to show you the reality of it. And unlike the courtroom witness who has to testify to some ugliness that he happened to see one day, you get to testify to something good. You report the good news of the Savior, and you can do so with conviction because it's the truth. When you speak up for Jesus and your salvation in Him, the truth is everything. You're not going to answer that unbeliever's question with your best opinion on the subject of religion or some theory of what might happen. No, the Lord has given you and me the gospel as His message, firmly anchored on key characteristics of truth. Let's review two of them. First of all, the gospel is irreversible. It has absolute permanence, which means that nobody, not even the devil, can reach back into the past and undo what Jesus did. It is firmly established, forever accomplished, a true success story where the benefits go out to everyone. Yeah, the gospel has this second characteristic of being objective, universal, involving everyone as the target, which includes you. So, when you talk about the Savior, you can always make it personal. You can share what you know to be true about yourself in relation to Christ. It's one reason among several why your diligent worship, your religious instruction going on now, and your ongoing study of the Bible are so important. You become a better witness of Christ a better defender of the faith when you hear, learn, and relearn what the gospel means for you personally? It is a message of comforting truth that will compel us to come back for more. And yet, no matter how much we try to learn it inside and out, backwards and forwards, if that were even possible, this message will continue to grab our attention. It will continue to amaze and impress. Just think, you and I enter this world as people desperately stuck in our sin. Even now, as believers, we have broken God's commandments too many times to add up the sum total. We keep adding to the debt. The guilt against us is daunting from that point of view. The penalty attached is overwhelming. Take Jesus out of the picture. You know what you have, don't you? You and I on a crash course for hell, along with everyone else, and no way to avoid disaster. Get a good focus on that. And then with a great sense of relief, you're ready for some good news from God. God came to the rescue, offering up His Son in our place. Jesus volunteered Himself, first of all, to live a perfect life for you and make it count as your own righteous record with God. He also became the, I'll use the word, target of God's justice, His holy justice that must punish sin, with the result that through His sacrificial death, He paid the debt for us. All of it. It really is quite amazing, so incredible, that the innocent Son of God intentionally suffered the punishment of hell so that you and I can have eternal life. Well, this amazing, unthinkable work of the Savior is now, each and every day, the amazing, unthinkable gift freely given to us and the truth of the hope that is in you and in me. In the Bible, including the verse of our text, the word hope is more than a wish for something to happen. Hope means expectation. You expect to be saved because of what Jesus has already done for you. You expect to have eternal life because of what God has told you. You expect to be glorified in heaven because of His promise to you and me. Well, that expectation is meant for others. That expectation needs a voice, yours and mine. And so we pray. Heavenly Father, help us to know the hope of our salvation in Christ, to trust it always, to sing it, to share it, and to live it each day in endless joy and thanksgiving to You. Amen. Let us close singing hymn 360, stanzas 2, 3, and 7. Stanzas 2, 3, and 7 of hymn 360.